This recording is with permission from Scholastic Limited. Chapter 23. The rains have forgotten us. The sun was a quarter away from the middling time. Will we be able to reach the tree before the switching hour? I asked Mally. If we hurry, she said, without slowing down. We followed the trail that led further away from home. The dense wood trees were stripped of their leaves, and the grass was sparse. No crickets hummed. Not even a fly needed batting away. We walked in line. Granny Uma led the way with Zola and Ella, then Mally. I followed close behind her with Tao bumping occasionally into the back of my legs. Is there somewhere we can get water from and something to eat? Mally gasped. Granny Uma nodded. We will get to the watering hole soon. I have been there before, looking for plants and medicines. The heat of the sun grew stronger with every step, beating down on us until my head throbbed. The air grew thick, and every breath felt hot enough to scald my tongue. I wrapped my cotton scarf around my mouth to keep out the dust that kicked up with our footsteps, but still I could taste the dirt that caked my throat and rattled my lungs. The trees rippled in the heat haze. I'd been walking in a daze, daydreaming of the grasslands, the lake and Caleb safe at home when Granny Uma stopped abruptly and I bumped into Mally. There it is, Granny Uma pointed towards a cluster of trees. We can stop here and wait out the middling of the day. I shaded my eyes from the sun and saw palm trees in the distance. They shimmered in the heat, looking like waving fronds, even though the air was still. As we got closer, I could see that most of the leaves had turned brown and dropped to the ground like broken boats. Granny Uma led Zola and Ella into the shade of the trees before pouring some water and grain into a small tin bowls. She patted their backs, raising red dust clouds, and murmured quietly to them. Further away, I spotted the deep down trunks of marigold trees, my mouth watered. I ran over, ready to climb up and pluck the fruit, but when we reached them, nothing grew on their branches. The dark green leaves had turned red with dust. Dust! Everything is turning to dust. I slumped to the ground against the trunk of a tree. I pressed my cracked lips together and tried to swallow, but my mouth was dry. I unhooked my water pouch and untied it, wanting to pour the water down my thirsty throat, but forcing myself to take sips. I spread the water over my tongue, trying to trick my mouth into thinking I wasn't thirsty anymore. The pouch felt frighteningly light. I was worried about Tao. There had been no grass for him to eat. He nuzzled my pack, looking for food. Here, I poured some water into the cup of my palm, and he slurped it up, licking my hand dry. I patted some of the dust off his back, but it made me cough. I searched for Mally and Granny Uma. They were standing under a palm tree, looking down at the ground. Granny Uma shook her head. I dropped my pack to the ground and went to join them. Careful. Mally put out her hand to stop me. I gasped. The ground dropped away into a ditch. At the bottom were small stones and boulders. My mind was too slow. I couldn't understand what it was. The watering hole. It's empty. The tearing in Mally's voice filled in the gaps between the words. The rains have forgotten us. I stared at the blank sky. There was nothing to suggest the rains would appear. No thunder rumbled in the distance. There was only the sun. Unwavering, it stared down at the world, beating on with its hammering heat. Even when I closed my eyes, I could see the red sun through my eyelids. There was no escaping it. I glanced back down at the dry bedrock. There's still time. I tried to sound confident. I forced a smile, but my dry lips split and stung. I sucked on my lip and tasted blood. It's never been this bad before. The rains have always arrived by now, Mally said weakly. Her face was streaked with dust that clung to her sweat. It caked in the corners of her mouth. Let's go back into the shade and wait for the sun to pass overhead, I said. I guided Mally over to the marigold tree. We shared out the bread, cheese and water from the pouches. I gave Tao some of my food. I would rather we were both half hungry than Tao go without. We sat quietly and I thought of Caleb. Since the memory of him had reappeared, it was as if I had never forgotten. There were no frightening shadows muddling up his face or his voice. I took Mimar out of the pack and held her in my hands. I tried to polish off the burned edges of her pumpkin seed eyes with the edge of my tunic, but they stayed black. What is done is done. I hated that I'd made Caleb cry and that it was one of my last memories he had. I tucked Mimar into my belt. Granny Uma glanced up at the sky. The sun is past the middling point. We can continue. We're not far now. I fell into step beside Granny Uma as she led Zola back up the path. The temperature lessened as the day went on, as the sun began to fall and the shadows lengthened. The cloudless sky let the heat escape in waves, leaving behind a chill in the air. We ran in a line like scurrying ants. Our footfalls fell into a rhythm, with every step bringing us closer to nightfall. The weaving birds flew like yellow feathered arrows back to their nests. The sun was falling down towards the horizon. "Please give us more time," I silently begged, but the sun didn't care for my small brother or me. When the sky came tainted with pink and purple colours of sunset, the trees thinned until there were only brittle shrubs that crunched under our feet. "Where are we?" I searched a barren space, then I saw it. The white tree stood in the middle of a clearing. Its trunk was so wide you could fit the whole of Granny Uma's cottage into the space. Its wrinkled bark was folded over on itself with age, like elephant skin bleached white by the sun. Its gnarled branches only grew from the very top of the trunk, looking like roots extending into the sky. The tree stood alone. The forest grew in a huge circle around it, as though the other trees didn't dare put down their roots too near it. "The dead tree!" My heart thudded in my chest. "Caleb must be there!" We set off across the dusty ground, leaving footprints and hoofprints in the soil behind us. The air was much cooler now. The chill slithered over my skin, and I shivered. The dead tree grew larger with every step until I had to twist my neck to see the top of it. My eyes sought out movement, but the branches were empty. Although I couldn't see a creature with milky eyes, my shoulder blades twitched with the sense of being watched. Tao huddled next to my side. I brushed my fingers along his back. The touch of his rough fur was comforting, and it gave me the courage to walk the last few steps. "What now?" Mally whispered. Her voice still felt too loud. The hush that surrounded us was all-consuming. Even a breath felt like a ringing bell. "I'll have to make it into the hollow," I said, looking up the smooth white surface of the tree. Badeko hissed. The old woman, the fire dreamer, and the lonely one were here. It could taste the daydream smell of them, the flavour of courage and the scent of fear. It was a delicious mix. The creature flexed its many legs, feeling the strength of the boy's dream seep into its body. It shivered and licked its lips. The hunger in its belly roared. If it could ensnare the fire dreamer and eat her nightmares whole, the creature would be all-powerful. Animal, bird and human would fall under the song of the sleep spell and feed the dreamer's eternal hunger. The creature would rule the nighttime world. Quickly, with its many legs, Badeko began to weave another song net. Granny Uma parked Zola and the cart on the side of a tree. "Stay here, Zola," she said to the billy goat, patting him on his huge head. Ella stayed next to her mate. Tao, however, stuck to my side like a shadow. We crept around the trunk of the tree. I kept my eyes upwards, searching for the hollow. We were near the far side when I spotted it. The opening was cave-like. As wide as I was tall, it was too high to reach. Mally unhooked her axe from her belt, and she balanced it in her hands. The last slice of sunlight caught the blade, highlighting its sharp edge. Mally grinned at me. "I'm ready," she said. "I'll go into the hollow and get Caleb," I said. Granny Uma clicked her tongue. "I can't let you go in there. I'm not going to risk losing you." She tightened her scarf around her shoulders. "I'll go." I put my hand on her arm. "Granny Uma, you can't climb that high. You're going to have to let me go." I smiled even though my stomach squirmed like a thousand snakes. "I'll come back with Caleb." Granny Uma squinted up at the hollow and blew out all her breath. Giving in, she took off her necklace and put it around my neck. "Shake the seeds if you get into trouble. I will find a way to reach you, even if you are swallowed up by the earth." She smiled too brightly. The sky was a blaze of fire colours. I couldn't see the sun from behind the trees, but I knew it was leaving the world behind. The bright moon was taking control of the sky and bringing its army of stars. "The switching hour is here," Mally said. "You better be quick. We'll hoist you up." Mally and Granny Uma helped lift me, taking one of my legs on each shoulder. Tao bleated as I left him behind. "I'll be back as quickly as I can," I called down. Holding the edge of the hollow, I pulled myself up and swung into the gap, landing inside the tree with a thump. The darkness was heart-quickening and stifling. The trunk absorbed all the light from outside. I listened for sounds, but it was quiet. "Caleb?" I whispered. The hollow was filled with what felt like leaves and dry grass, spongy and soft. The air was moist and hot. "Caleb, where are you?" I called out. I crawled forward on my hands and knees, reaching out blindly. I glanced over my shoulder. The hollow's mouth was still in sight, a small moon-shaped of light. How much further to go? A skittering insect crawled over my hand, and I flicked it away. All I could hear was my own breathing as I crept further and further into the hollow. I tried not to think of the Dream Eater and where it might be. I turned a corner in the tunnel when I saw a faint glow. I ran my hand over the grooves in the bark, following the tunnel. It was getting hotter. Sweat trickled down the side of my face. The glow got brighter when the tunnel suddenly opened up, my hair caught on the bark as I carefully stood. The smell of the dust and earth clogged my nose. I coughed, and the sound reverberated around the hollow space. I was in the belly of the dead tree.